Thank you, choir. I invite you now to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel, if you will, the third chapter division. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We will depart this Lord's Day from preaching in 2 Kings because it is baby day. And I want to deal with the question, the title of the message, when can a child be saved? When can a little child be saved? When can they be born again? 3, you follow as I read, beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest there in the temple. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word of God, the things that they had, God was dealing with them, was really not respected like it should have been. It came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." Then he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I want you to notice that. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. You remember Samuel was the little baby that Hannah prayed for and then she gave to God. And he was serving the Lord there in the temple. God gave her 5 more kids after that as a blessing, 5 more children. But Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou canst call me, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. He was a very obedient, compliant young child, by the way. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And of course the Lord spoke to them, as the rest of the verses tell us. I say to you today that there are a lot of people that do not think it is important to reach little children. And they live in suspicion of whether or not little children really get saved. Just because little Mary gets saved or little Johnny gets saved doesn't mean they're going to become an angel overnight, by the way. We expect them to be 70-year-old saints the moment they get saved. But that isn't the way it is in their lives. But I am glad that we try to reach boys and girls with the gospel here at our church. I believe some of the most important workers in Worth Baptist Church are those who drive those buses and those who bring them in, and the Sunday school teachers, especially in those lower grades, who take time to prepare a lesson on their level and teach those boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then maybe in children's church, where they on their level right now, many of them are there and they're preaching to them. Now, I miss that, be honest with you, that a lot of the children are not out here. And I personally would encourage all of your parents to bring them in with you and let them sit with you. Amen. I think that would be the best thing, the better thing, And I love the opportunity to preach to them. Some of you old hard heads, it's a little rough to preach to you sometimes. But those kids listen and cheer up and perk up. They liably get saved. Amen? But at any rate, I miss that part of it. But we have some who come in and they're undisciplined. And their parents evidently don't believe in discipline. And they come from broken homes. And they come from all kinds of situations that are very difficult. Thank God we're able to teach them about Jesus Christ. And I know there's some people don't like that. They're afraid they're going to tear up something, mess up a little carpet, maybe stain the pew. Well, praise God, let them do it if they do it, if they get saved. So you got quiet on me there because your heart's not right. We need to have little children come to Christ. So what if they do put bubblegum under the chairs? If we gather up enough of it, we'll retire the buses. Amen? Just recap them with the bubblegum. The Bible says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean, friend. I'd rather have some oxen than have some crop than to have a stall that's clean, wouldn't you? And I thank God for bus workers and people who teach them in Sunday school, nursery workers back there changing those diapers. Hallelujah. I think Brother Rigsby and I ought to volunteer for a Sunday every once in a while just to keep us humble. Amen. But in all seriousness, thank God for little children. They listen, and they are savable. And I'd come near mistrusting an older person who makes a conversion, and I'm glad if they do, don't misunderstand, than I would a little child. Because a little child really wants to know when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a time that they're too young to be saved. There is a time that they are too young to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Samuel did not know the Lord yet. The Bible says in verse 7, chapter 3 here. He did not yet know the Lord. He was a little child. But he had not reached, previous to this point, I think, the age of accountability, what we call the age of accountability. Now some people say, well, that's 12 years of age. I remember when I was a kid in church, many times I'd hear adults say, that's 12 years old. You can't get saved till you're 12. You're supposed to get saved when you're 12. They got that mixed up with the Jewish rite, the bar mitzvah, when a child becomes one that is supposed to be mature enough to handle things like an adult. And they go through the bar mitzvah. And the Bible never says anything like that whatsoever. It's the knowledge of right and wrong. To some, that's earlier. To some, that's a little later. But it is that knowledge, I think, of right and wrong. And Samuel had not quite reached that age yet, but he is there, and God is dealing with him. And he really did not, previous to this, see much of the difference in evil and good, although certain training he had made him realize that. But he really didn't know some of the deep things of God, and he had not come to know the Lord yet. But God is dealing with him. You see, a little child's different. I remember a little child's very gullible. They don't know everything. I remember being 5 years of age, and I was not in public school yet, but there was a little girl. They lived, these were African Americans, and worked on the cotton farm there in northeast Louisiana, and they lived just up the lane. And our house wasn't much better than their house. Neither one of them had any paint on it, and they were just old shacks. But I remember her walking down there, and she'd get off the bus, and I was just a curious little boy, 5 years of age. And I saw her down below our house a little bit in the lane, the dirt road. And she looked like she was really doing something that interested me. So I walked up where she was, and she talked to me, and I talked to her a little bit. And I said, what you doing? Something like that. And she said, making mud pies. I said, mud pies? Pies. Sounds good, doesn't it? Chocolate pie, coconut pie, good hot butterscotch pie. Make you hungry right now. I love a good pie, and I knew that pie sounded good. And I said, are they good? She said, yeah. She said, you want one? I said,
Yeah.
The last scene was her running and me chasing her, I want to tell you. She took off. I'd spit mud out of my mouth. You see, I really didn't know any better. My son's here. He's grown up since what I'm going to tell on him, but I remember one time he got a little rabbit. He found a little baby rabbit. And so he loved that little rabbit, fell in love with it immediately, I think. So he wanted to take care of that little rabbit. But what he didn't know was, if you're not real careful, you can drown them. And so he meant well, but he put that little rabbit in a shoebox or something, put some grass in there. I think we helped him out. Then he got a little lid off of a baby food jar and put some milk in there, thinking he was doing that rabbit some good. But the poor rabbit drowned in that milk that night. He should have used one of these little dropper things, you know. He didn't know, did he? I'm just illustrating for you that little children just don't know everything, and they don't understand everything, and some of them do not understand about being born again. They're not old enough to know. Now let me deal with this very quickly. When little babies die, do they go to heaven? They certainly do. Someone was telling me about a lady that I know, and a Sunday school teacher. She had lost a baby, and she asked her Sunday school teacher, and he said, No, they don't exist anymore. They're just going to nothing. They're no longer, they don't exist. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And I don't know where he got that doctrine. But little babies, if they pass away, and I've held two little babies not much longer than that, just like that in my arms, and that died, and I was in the hospital with the family, twins, and we went out and buried them. And Tony and Karen Leach, they've been here. By the way, they're missionaries. They've adopted so many kids. I can't believe how many kids they've adopted. They went ahead and had some more. Now they're working with troubled kids. And God used all of that to bring them to that place. But I was able to say to Tony and Karen, they're with Jesus. Their soul and spirit has gone on to be with the Lord. And God takes care of that. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam, all die. Hey, I'm a sinner today, not so much because of what I did or what I have done. I'm a sinner. That's why I have sinned. And I got that from Adam. As in Adam, all die. And so it was that Adam and Eve sinned, and the sin has passed upon all men, in that we're all sinners. And I didn't have any choice in the matter. I wasn't there to argue with Adam and Eve about eating the forbidden fruit. But I have been the recipient of the first Adam. But the second Adam is Christ. He said, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So even though they did not have an opportunity and the knowledge to make a decision, the blood of Jesus covers them. They're all right. They're conceived in iniquity. They're depraved little babies. But the blood of Jesus Christ covers their sin. Their sin nature that they inherited from Adam. And so they go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they're the little sensitive, precious little children. Don't you just love little children? I love little children. I was doing a wedding yesterday, and my grandson was sitting back there, and he said, Papa! And my other grandson says, Shh! I liked it. I wanted him to say it. Say it two or three times. That's all right with me. I love little children. I love to be around them. I love to give them candy and bubble gum so you can pay the dentist bill. Amen. They get these lollipops now that don't cause decays. I may break down, repent, and get some of those. I don't know. Meanwhile, I want to give them bubble gum. I want them to love me. I want them to think the pastor is somebody special, because I want them to hear what I've got to say. That's better than the dope pusher. Amen. But sensitive little children, sometimes they go to mom and daddy and say, I love Jesus. And they'll hear a teacher teaching, and they'll teach about Jesus, and they just know he's a wonderful person. And they become sensitive to some of that. And they might come, and maybe you think maybe the Lord's dealing with them and it might be time for them to be saved, but sometimes it isn't. And I've had them come to me and want me to talk to them, and we know how to talk to them. And I've had them say to me certain things, and I don't know if they're really ready to get saved or not, but I don't want to miss it, they say. And so I'll say to the little girl, "Are you a sinner?" And she'll go, "No." And I say, "Have you ever done anything wrong?" "No." I'm thinking, come on now. You know, they don't think they're a sinner. You've got to realize you're a sinner before you can get born again. And they come a little prematurely. Well, Dr. Crystal used to call that the first step toward being saved. And many times I think that's what it is. But listen, if they tug on you, mama, back in an invitation, and they want to come up here and pray, don't say no. Don't hold them back. Let them come talk to me. I'll know how to discern it and what to say. Brother Rigsby will know. These workers will know. And we'll be sensitive to it. And if it's not the time, don't downplay it. Let them come. Love them. And show them that that is a good step. And that's a right thing to be thinking about God. But then they have to know that they're a sinner and realize that Christ died for them at some point. And then they come to that point like Samuel did, and God deals with them. And there is what we would call regeneration. They are sensitive to the fact that they're lost. They are listening now, they're hearing a voice, and they're trying to discern it, and somebody helps them know that's the voice of God. There's a time, they're too young, but there's a time God begins to quicken them. And Samuel here becomes sensitive to the voice of God. And he also becomes sensitive to sin. Before this time, he wasn't sensitive to Hophni and Phinehas' sin and the way they were living, those scoundrels, those sons of Eli. But after that, you see that he knows they're sinners, and he knows that Israel needs a revival. And all of that comes into play after he comes to know the Lord, after he is quickened. I remember, I stop and think about, how did I get saved? How did I come to the Lord? 9 years of age, I was born again. How did all of that happen? How did I know about God? Well, from as far back as I can remember, we went to church. I remember being a four-year-old little boy falling in love with a pretty girl in church. She was probably a teenager. I didn't know the difference. I can remember that. That's a good memory that I have about church. When she didn't want to marry me and I felt like she brushed me off, I was hurt. Four-year-old boy. Mama would take me to WMU. And I was sort of their mascot. And I can remember all of those ladies gathering and praying. And Mama would have me there with her. And then I can remember whenever Dad would talk, and he'd talk about prayer, and we'd go to church, and we'd sing those little songs about Jesus, and that had something to do with it. And then I had a grandma and grandpa. They used to live down below us, and then finally we went to another farm, and they moved in the house with us, and part of the house was theirs. And they weren't in a nursing home. Part of the house was theirs. I'm not saying it's wrong to put them there, but that was the way it was then. And so I went over, and I would play over at Grandma and Grandpa's. They let me come over. 7 years, 8 years old. My grandma told me about Jesus. She had plenty of time to sit down with me. I remember some books she bought me. Pretty books. If I was an artist, I could paint you the cover of those books. And one book was about the Lord Jesus Christ and creation and the birth of Christ. One was about his death, burial, and resurrection. And one was about his second coming. She taught me that when I was just 7, 8 years of age. And my mama, sometimes my daddy would have to go somewhere else to work. There wasn't enough work around there. The little cotton farmer was put out when they brought in the big mechanical cotton pickers, and the guys couldn't go in debt for those costly. And that's why corporations own those big farms now. But I remember it would come a thunderstorm and rain. And we lived in Louisiana, and there were tornadoes around there. And I would be sleeping in bed with my mom. I'd get scared, and she'd say, "Don't worry, God's watching over us." Amen. And she'd pray a little prayer and say, "Dear God, watch over us, help us." And I'd be comfortable, and I'd go to sleep. I knew there was somebody up there that loved us. No wonder at 9 years of age, on a Sunday night, when we were in a revival, my mother was sick. My daddy, for some reason, allowed me at 9 to sit with another boy back about 5 pews back in a little country church. I love country churches. It's not just the big churches, folks, that are getting the job done. There have been hundreds and hundreds of souls saved, still being saved at that little country church. And that night, I was sitting back there, and we'd talked a good bit, like kids do, you know. And all of a sudden, that preacher got my attention. He got to preaching about heaven and about hell. He got talking about it, and I began to listen a little bit. All of a sudden, I was hearing somebody speak to me, not out loud, but way down in here. Seemed like somebody was saying, you need to listen to this, and you need to do what he's saying. And I thought, man, what's going on here? Just 9 years of age, what's happening? And all of a sudden, let's stand, and we have the invitation, and I'm standing there, and I think, something's happening. I don't understand exactly what's happening, but something's happening. I know I need to be saved. I believe I need to go and receive Christ as my Savior. And all of a sudden, the meanest girl in our church, I mean, she was the meanest thing in the church, stepped out and went forward. And I thought right then, if God will save her, he'll save me. And right then I said, in my heart, I believe, right there before I got out of that pew, I said, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I went forward in that little country church, and the little lady that I went over and sat down by and filled out the deal, Miss Letty Johnson, I remember well receiving Christ as my Savior. I didn't get saved till then, but boy, God got a hold to my heart like he did Samuel's. And he called me and spoke to my heart, and I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us come to him at that time. At some time when we recognize I've done wrong, I'm a sinner, I've lied, I've done something wrong, I've stolen. I just know that I'm a sinner and I've done things that are wrong, and that has to be paid for, and Jesus paid for it. And then God reaches down and gets a hold of our heart. That's how you came, if you came at all. That's how I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a little child. By the way, I'd rather see them saved when they're little children. You see, somebody, I've led people to the Lord in their 80s. And I'm glad that they get saved. I rejoice that they get saved. But you know, when you get saved at 4 o'clock, you don't have much time to use your hammer and saw until it's quitting time. But you get a little boy or girl saved, you got a whole life. Get them saved while they're young. Get them to Christ while they're young, and a whole life is salvaged. Oh, they may do some crazy things along the way, but a whole life is salvaged. And the Lord spoke to Samuel 3 times, and finally he discerned. And he finally recognized with the help of Eli that it was God speaking to him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I ascribe my salvation wholly to God. He described how God worked in his life. Different things like I told you about my Sunday school class and my grandma, my mama, and my daddy. Bringing me to a place where I realized that. I remember going out one night to visit, to witness to somebody. And I was going to tell this big, tall guy, big, strapping guy, about 6'4", broad shoulders, muscular type guy, built about like Brother Rigsby and I, just a big old handsome, tall, muscular guy. And so I went out there with another guy, and the lady told us to come on in, little girl in there and little boy. And I began to talk, and I said, well, I've come to see you, your husband. She said, well, he's not here, but I think he'll be here after a while. And all of a sudden, I watched that little boy, and he began to weep. He began to sort of sob. And I addressed my attention to him, and I began to talk to him, and I said, would you like to be saved? Is the Lord talking to you about being saved? Man, he just snorted and cried and everything. He said, yes, I want to be saved. And I led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got saved. Hallelujah. Well, about that time, his daddy came in, the little boy still crying, and he said, what's going on here? I'm thinking, let me explain. And so I just said, your little boy just got saved. And the little boy got a hold of his daddy's legs, began to weep and cry. And he said, Daddy, I want you to get saved. Daddy, please get saved. Please get saved. And old daddy got on his knees, received Christ as his Savior. And then I thought, well, that's pretty good. He said, He kept crying. I thought, is he ever going to quit crying? How many tears is in that body? He said, we can't stop here. My grandpa's lost. He said, we got to go tell grandpa. We got in the car and went and told grandpa. Amen. God was dealing with him. The Spirit of God working, the Spirit of God dealing with him. I thank God for that little boy. I saw his mother a while back while I was preaching in Roanoke, Virginia. And she just thanked me for what I did and all of that. But give God all the glory. Amen. I could speak to a stump or a stone or a post and they wouldn't move. But you talk to a little child, they'll listen to you. It's born in them to listen. That's why the liberals don't want us to have their minds while they're young. That's why they want to mess them up and say that you're guilty of all kinds of severe brainwashing because you tell them about Jesus Christ when they're 3, 4, 5, and 6 years of age. Friend, if you leave a vacuum, the devil's going to fill it with his lies. Tell them about Jesus while they're young. Tell them about the Lord. That's the way God saves us. God made those little kids that way. God spoke, God called, God knows me, God knows these little children, and God quickened me, and God quickens these little children. It's grace and mercy, God at work. And God works through little children. I don't have time to talk about that, but he worked through Samuel to bring revival. He worked through Moses. And by the way, Jesus was a little baby, wasn't he? God works great things through all of that and even brings revival. Samuel was used to bring revival because he listened to the Lord. But then there's a public profession. I just barely have time to touch on this. Verses 17 and 18. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Eli asking Samuel, I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, told him everything, told him all about it, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him to him good. Let him do what seemeth to him good. And he was established as a prophet of Almighty God. And from Dan to Beersheba, everybody knew Samuel was a prophet, and he was going to take Eli's place because Eli had backslidden, let his kids get away with murder, and God killed his two boys, and God killed Eli. Amen. His work will always, and all of that is true with our experience. When we get saved, we ought to want to tell it, and we will. The next day I went in the restroom. Some of you are wiggling a lot. Are you getting antsy? Hang on a while. I'll be through in a minute. I went into that school on a Monday morning. I remember this break or something. Went in there. I was whistling, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Whistling, and there's power in the blood and singing. There was another guy in there. I think I've told you about that story. And must be a Christian. I said, yeah, I got saved last night. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, well, I'm a Christian too. And we just rejoice, little old bitty fellows, 9 years of age. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't hold it back. I had to tell it. Samuel had to tell it. Samuel had to get the word out. And when somebody gets saved and God does a work in their lives, my friend, they're not going to be able to hold it back. Dr. B.H. Carroll, a great preacher of yesteryear, preached a sermon called My Infidelity and What Became of It. He fought in the Civil War. And when he came back from the Civil War, he was agnostic. And he was a man that scoffed at the things of God. But somebody invited him to a revival meeting. He went to the revival meeting. He got saved. He came home that night. He had a little nephew staying with them in their home. He went on by them, went up to his bedroom. And the little nephew was watching him. He thought he looked different. And he heard him, saw what he was doing. And he went to his aunt and he said, something's wrong with Uncle B.H. She said, what do you mean? Said, he's singing a while and crying a while. Singing a while and crying a while. I don't know what's wrong with him. She knew what was wrong with him. She went up and talked to him, said, you got saved, didn't you? He said, yeah, I got saved. She said, you can't hide it. You got saved. You had to sing. You had to let somebody know. It's on your face. I see it. You got saved. Hallelujah. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when we get saved, it's that way. It's a new day, a new way, a new hope, a new prayer. It's a new vision. It's a new everything. If any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. All things are new when we get saved. If any man be in Christ, all things are new. Eli, the lad found the Lord. Everyone knew about it. You and me, how do we answer God? We ought to answer with our life. We ought to want the husband to know it, the wife to know it. When they get saved, mama to know it, daddy to know it, the whole church to know it, the whole world to know it. It's good news. It's the best news you ever got. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm born again. And I'm glad little children can do that. Oh, Lord, what a happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Thank God he'll save little children. And he'll save old folks too. He'll save anybody that'll come to him through Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Just a moment. Have you heard the voice of God? Is he speaking to you? We have some children here today. Young person, boy or girl that's out here in this sanctuary right now. Are you saved? Is God speaking to you? Are you ready to go to heaven? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If God's talking to you and you know he is, telling you you need to be saved and you need to be sure of it, then step out and come. God saves little children. There may be some that are not quite ready. We're going to introduce you to some after a while. But thank God if they're brought up right, hopefully, by God's grace, as they dedicate those babies to the Lord, someday, early in life, they're going to come to Christ. But what about you? Are you saved? Are you listening to God? Saved person? Saved born-again person? Just because you're saved doesn't mean God doesn't continue to speak to you. Are you listening to his voice? Is he telling you to join this church? Is he telling you to surrender your life for full-time service? Maybe totally irrational. Is he telling you that? Is he telling you to get some things right in your life and you hear the voice of God right now? Then respond. Do it. A little child will be very sensitive to God, and we are his little children. Father, speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you that little babies, if they die, go to heaven because of Jesus. I'm thankful that little boys and girls, young boys and girls, who come to the age of accountability, the knowledge that they're sinners of right and wrong, that they can be saved then and there. And help us to encourage it. Help us to work to that end. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak. If there's a little boy or girl in this building right now, young boy or girl, that needs to be saved, I pray they'll be saved. If there's an adult, I pray they'd be saved. They'd come to Christ. There's a Christian who needs to do business with you. Help them to do it. In Jesus' name we pray.